worship Him. He's worthy. There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Oh, fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still in all of life's ebb and woe. Sing now, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife. Discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken. Thank God for that. Stirred my slumbering chords again. Sing now. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. On the third now, feasting on the riches of His grace, resting neath the sheltering wing, always looking on. Holy Lord. turn to Calvary. Sing it out. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. I love this third verse. Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my king. Now my raptured soul can, amen, thank God, of Calvary. Let's lift it up unto the Lord tonight. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul from liberty at Calvary. On the last now, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. I like that there. My burdened soul found liberty. Amen. I'm thankful I have freedom and liberty through my Savior Jesus Christ. Turn around and shake hands with one another tonight. It sure is good to be in the Lord's house. Amen. Praise the Lord tonight. Thank God for another privilege we have together here on Wednesday night. Amen. What a hot day it's been. Anybody else been burning up today? Amen. Praise the Lord. But I'd rather burn up for Jesus than fry in hell with the devil. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. And one of these days, amen, we're going to be together forever in that wonderful place. And what a day that's going to be. Boy, I believe time's growing short, don't you? I believe it's winding down, and I believe that any moment the trumpet could sound, And we're going to be called away, and what a day that's going to be, an eternal day of splendor. No night in that place, but won't it be wonderful there? Hallelujah. Appreciate your presence this evening. So good to see you. And again, we've got some still out for various reasons, a lot of sickness in the church and things. It's summertime, of course, but I'm glad you're here. Amen. I hope you're glad to see me too. If not, just grin and bear it and act like it. Hallelujah. It won't be long till church will be over, but praise the Lord. Amen. Anthony, you watch it now. I sung your song, so praise God for that. Good to have Kim back with us. Amen. Brian and Kim been on hiatus and vacation. Amen. I prayed for a hurricane, but it didn't happen, so glad to see them back. Amen tonight, so praise the Lord. Amen. Good to have a dear friend of mine from school, Miss Tanya, and her family with us. Amen. Appreciate them being here this evening, and thing about it, we're getting old, Tanya. Amen. She's got one of her kids with us tonight. My kids are growing up, but amen. Time flies when you're serving Jesus. Good to have Tyler, and amen. These ladies that are sitting here with him, I told them, I said, they better be careful who they associate with. They might get a bad reputation. So praise the Lord. Amen. No, we appreciate y'all being here. Amen. I'd rather be in church than anywhere I know. Amen. Amen. I'm thankful I can be here tonight. So just by way of announcements, do remember we've got Bible school coming up. Bible school will take place the week of June the 11th through the 15th, Monday through Friday. We'll have our closing program on Friday night. We'll have a fun day on Saturday the 16th that will involve water. Hallelujah. And then, amen, I do believe we've got menu posted there in the back. Some have already signed up, as we'll be feeding the kids each and every night. So let's just all rally together and make this year's Bible school the best we've ever had. Church, if there ever was a time where we needed to reach our children and our younger generation, it's the day we're living in. Amen. We've got to reach this younger generation for Jesus, because whether you know it or not, the devil's working overtime to reach them. We've got to meet his intensity head on, and because the devil, we may not realize it or not, but the devil knows that his days are numbered, and he's doing everything he can to drag as many souls and especially young people to hell with him while he can. So we've got to do our best to reach them for Jesus while we still have the chance. So let's do remember our upcoming vacation Bible school. All right, just by way of prayer request tonight, let's continue to remember Brother Sam and Miss Barbie, as Barbie is doing fairly well. She's recovering from her surgery, and Sam said, Lord willing, we'd be seeing them soon here at church. So praise God for that. Continue to remember Bob Price, as Bob is now at Quillen Rehab there in Johnson City recovering. So continue to remember Brother Bob in prayer. Let's see, several others from Sunday. Continue to remember Gary Gridley. Remember Brother Gary in prayer. Miss Grace Babcock, she needs our prayers. Remember Miss Elma and her health. Remember Nellie Barm in prayer. Remember Miss Cheryl Filing. Miss D. Dunbar, she recovers from knee surgery. Miss Lola Hafke needs our prayers. Remember Bandy Thompson and his health. As he's fighting cancer, I talked with him this week. Let's remember him. Let's continue to remember Miss Joanne Knight. Remember my Uncle Kenny in prayer with his health. Several others. Remember Bruce's co-workers in prayer. We need to continue to remember our Supreme Court justices. Amen. This impending decision that's coming down, Roe versus Wade, we need to pray, amen, that they will have the courage to do what's right, in spite of the threats and the slanders by the devil's crowd. Remember them. Remember Miss Pam Bryson in prayer. Remember, let's see, several of those. Continue to remember our president, all of our leaders. We need to, let's see, several from, let's pray for Miss Cheryl Davis. Cheryl had a dental procedure today. She's at home doing fairly well. Remember her. Remember my dad, who had surgery on his face yesterday. Remember him in prayer. Let's see, a few others. Remember Tim Stemmer. Remember Barbara Ivy.
remember, Boyd Holder, remember him in prayer, remember Zach Stanton, remember the Ross Hilton family, remember Regina Baxter in prayer, and remember Uncle Kenny's sister Pat. These are just a few that we have, and I'm sure you've got some that you'd like to add to the prayer list tonight. Yeah, go ahead, Tyler. Amen, brother. Amen. That's right. Yes, sir. Remember Christian Brown. This is Tyler's son. And all those who are struggling with addiction. Amen. Remember these requests. Somebody else this evening? Yeah, go ahead, sis. Linda George. Okay. Remember this request in prayer. Somebody else tonight. Amen. Remember Miss Lula Cutchall in prayer, and we love her to death. And boy, we didn't know for sure whether or not she was going to make it through COVID, but God brought her through that. But just like so many still having, post-COVID symptoms and still struggling with the after effects of that. So remember Miss Lula in prayers. Somebody else tonight. Amen. What's her name? Elta Bartram. Amen. Thank you for that. Other needs tonight? Amen. Remember Holly's brother Chris? Somebody else? Kim. What's her last name, Jake? Say that again. Other prayer request. Yeah, go ahead, Bruce. What was that last name, Bruce? I'm having a hard time tonight. Had a hard time all day. Hallelujah. Any others this evening? Uh-oh. I was about to say, you got to have one for him to check it. Amen. Remember Pam in prayer. Go ahead, Anthony. Amen. Amen. Favorite phrases in the Bible is, it came to pass. Amen. Didn't come to stay. But amen. Praise the Lord. Remember Joanne and Michael in prayer. Anyone else? Amen. Miss Mary? Any other unspoken requests tonight that you have that you'd like to acknowledge? Lost loved ones, we don't want to forget those. Amen. Any other prayer needs tonight? Remember our missionaries on the field. Don't forget to pray for those. Pray for our children, our youth. Amen. Let's pray for each other during these hard days that we just keep on the firing line. Sometimes it's easier said than done. But I want to be like Paul when he said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Amen. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Amen. Amen. I want to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. All right, we'll gather around the altar and we'll take these requests before the Lord. If you'd like to join us, you could do so. If not, pray there in your seats, please. I need your prayers this evening. All right, we'll have a couple of ushers come forward tonight. We will receive our Wednesday night offering as we, Wednesday night offering goes towards the building fund, so you give as the Lord's blessed and prospered you. And, Lyle, you lead us in prayer, brother.
Thank you.
How many of you remember the day that heaven came down and glory filled your soul? Amen. Don't ever want to forget that day. Amen. When the old devil tries to bring up all these threatening accusations against us, that old saying, when the devil reminds you of his or brings up your past, you remind him of his future. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I don't know about anybody else, but I hope that at the great white throne judgment, the Lord will give me a front row seat when God puts the devil in his place for the final time. Amen. That's one knockout I want to witness, don't you? That old rascal's given me so much problems and trouble over the course of my life. I'll be thankful that when I get to heaven, you know, I'm thankful not only for the things that are going to be in heaven, but I'm also looking forward to those things that won't be in heaven. And one thing that won't be in heaven is Satan. Amen. No sin will be in heaven, but also there'll be no devil. And that's going to make it worth it all. Praise God. All right, turn with me to Jeremiah chapter number 20. Jeremiah chapter number 20 tonight. Jeremiah chapter number 20, let's begin reading verse number 1. Read several verses, so I want to ask you to stand tonight. The Bible says, "Now Pashur, the son of Immer, the priest, who was also the chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. And it came to pass on the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him, The Lord hath not called thy name Pashur, but Magormesabib. For thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and thine eyes shall behold it. And I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword. Moreover, I will deliver all the strength of the city, and all the labors thereof, and all the precious things thereof, and all the treasures of the kings of Judah will I give into the hand of their enemies, which shall spoil them and take them and carry them to Babylon. And thou, Pashur, and all that dwell in thine house shall go into captivity, and thou shalt come to Babylon, and there thou shalt die, and shall be buried there, thou and all thy friends to whom thou hast prophesied lies." Now here's Jeremiah. He was having this conversation with Pashur, but now the conversation switches over into a personal conversation between him and the Lord. "O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed, and I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me, for since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I will make no mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." We'll quit reading there. Father in heaven, I love you. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Lord, I'm thankful for the examples that we are provided with through the men and women of Scripture, God. Not only their good points, but also their bad points and their weak points. And Father, I pray that we'd be encouraged, God, by the faithfulness of the prophet Jeremiah, even during hard times and dark days. God, he was faithful, and you sustained him, God. And Lord, if you did that for him, you'll do it for us, God. Move in our midst tonight. Speak through us. God, use us to be a help and a blessing to all that are here tonight. And Lord, I pray again, Lord, that your word might feed us and make us stronger in our faith and walk with you. Honor your word. Exalt your son by way of your humbled servant. God, if there might be one tonight that's lost and doesn't know you, save them. But again, challenge us all and help us to all draw closer to you than we were when we walked through those doors. We'll praise you for who you are and what you do in advance. In Jesus' name we pray, all God's people said, amen. All right, just making sure you're still there and hadn't fallen asleep on me. Amen. All right, we started this chapter last week, again, Jeremiah chapter number 20, again, which is a part of a trilogy of chapters beginning in 18, continuing 19, and now chapter 20. Again, chapter number 18, Jeremiah dealt with the parable of the potter as he went down to the potter's house and saw the potter working a work on the wheel. And I'm thankful the Lord's working a work, aren't you? Amen. I'm thankful that I changed wheels. He brought me up just like the potter did, that lump of clay. He took him out of the pit, put him on the wheel, and now he's working a work in his life. So also, that's what my God's doing in my life. Amen. And I'm thankful when he finds those marred places. Amen. He doesn't throw the clay away, but he just breaks it down and makes it over another vessel. Amen. And I'm thankful for the fact that he didn't throw the clay away tonight, aren't you? Hallelujah. Chapter number 19, though, we see that prophecy or the parable of the potter, it's not just individually, but nationally. And God told Jeremiah to go down to not just to the potter's wheel, but to the valley, amen, there, where, just outside the temple gate, the potsherd gate, and the valley of Hinnom, where they'd been offering their children up as sacrifices. And God was getting ready to judge the land of Judah because of the sins specifically that had been committed against the younger generation of children. And they heated that bronze altar or that bronze idol up and laid their babies on the arms of those, the hot bronze arms of that idol. And they literally allowed their kids to fry to death unto a God that did, as a sacrifice unto a God that didn't even exist. No wonder God judged them, amen. And God told Jeremiah, take that vessel and smash it right there in the presence of the ancients and the prophets of the land because of the sins they had committed. And God said, Jeremiah, just as you're shattering that vessel, that's what I'm going to do to this nation that's forsaken me. Amen. And what a relevant message to our day. And I'm telling you, church, payday's coming. Judgment's going to fall. And there's a reckoning day for all the atrocities that have been committed, especially against innocent, unborn children. You say amen right there. But now we come to chapter number 20, and we see that just like is the case most of the time, Jeremiah got in trouble for being faithful and for doing what God had commanded him to do. And again, I told you last week that I believe chapter 18 through 20 occurred during the reign of Jehoiakim in 607 B.C., only 2 years before Babylon invaded the land and under Nebuchadnezzar. In other words, and I thought about this, and I want to go ahead and give it to you tonight while it's on my mind. Jeremiah gave these prophecies simply 2 years before his faith was vindicated and his message came true. And all of the scoffing and all of the ridicule and all of the making fun of that had taken place because of his faithfulness, he was only 2 years away from vindication. And getting the last word, and the people who had reviled him finding out that he wasn't as crazy as they thought he was. But here's the question I want to ask you tonight as we get into this, and I hope we can cover a little bit of territory. What if Jeremiah had quit while he was there in those stocks? And again, we see this raw emotion of Jeremiah. He's mad. He's angry at the Lord. Lord, I've been faithful. I've done just exactly what you've told me to do, and look where it's gotten me. I'm just quitting. I'm giving up. What if he had quit? Yeah, he was only 2 years away from deliverance. Amen. You know, when the devil works us over the hardest, I believe a lot of times that's because we're that close to vindication. And we're that close to victory. And friend, when the devil gets hot on your trail the most, hey, listen, it might be that blessing's just right around the corner. So we got to be faithful during the hard times and the dark times, trusting that God is going to reward us one way or another. Amen. So we gave you some things there, and again, you know, what was the ultimate reason? God, it wasn't just the sin and the atrocities that had been committed against the children, but specifically the fact that the people had rebelled against the Word of God. And I gave you some passages along those lines, but specifically Zechariah 7. And I want to read these verses to you again tonight because, again, the Lord just really used them to get my attention last week. Zechariah 7, verse 11, "But they refused to hearken, and they pulled away the shoulder," amen, "and stopped their ears that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent in His Spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it has come to pass that as He cried, and they would not hear, so when they cried, I would not hear, said the Lord of hosts." Ultimately, judgment fell because God gave them a chance. God gave them an opportunity. God let them hear the message. God warned them. He did everything He possibly could to tell them what was on the way, but they chose to ignore Him, reject Him, and rebel against Him. And when they, because they ignored God, God ended up ignoring them. Amen. That's a very dangerous thing. But again, we talked last week about persecution, how that Jeremiah was literally persecuted because of his faithfulness, because of the word that he preached. Not, you know, up to this point in time, it had been a mere verbal accusations and maybe, again, ridicule, but opposition and criticism. But now Jeremiah began to experience physical persecution because of his faithfulness. Friend, again, you and I need to be prepared because of the possibility that we too may one day be afflicted physically and violently for our stand. Amen. But listen, you know what we need to do? We need to stand anyway, having done all to stand. You know, sometimes we like to complicate this, but when it's all said and done, all God asks us to do is, having done all, to stand. Amen? And to be faithful. Amen. Moreover, it is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. There, you know, those are three things that I can do. There's a lot of things I can't do. There's a lot of things I wish I had a button to push, to fix all the problems in our world today. I don't have that. I can't fix it, and you can't either. By the way, I know a man who can. Hallelujah. But you know what I can do? I can be faithful. Say amen right there. I can stand, and I can withstand. When the devil ratchets up the intensity and turns up the heat of persecution in my life, amen, sometimes I just got to hold on to Jesus and weather the storm, trusting that God's going to keep me safe till the storm passes by. Hallelujah. All right, so let's see if we can't get on down from our text. Verse number 3, "And it came to pass on the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks." You know, persecution didn't last forever, but it came to an end. Again, it didn't come to stay, but it came to pass. Friend, I can't promise you that we're not going to go through some things before Jesus comes back. In fact, I'm afraid we're going to go through some things before the Lord returns. Amen. And somebody said, "You afraid to die?" No, I'm just afraid of what I might have to go through before it happens. Amen. And I'm afraid we're going to have to go through some things in this world. Things that you and I have never faced or experienced before. But you know what? I don't care how bad it is. I don't care how dark the night gets. I don't care how difficult the battle is. Listen, it won't last forever. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen. And I'm thankful. And I don't know how long it'll take, but when it's all said and done, I'm going to be on the right side of things. I'm on the winning side. I'm a winner either way tonight. And when the devil is burning in hell, I'm going to be in heaven with Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The determination. Jeremiah said unto him, verse number 3, the Lord hath not called thy name pasture, but Magormesabib. Now this word Magormesabib means terror on every side. And but here's my thought. Jeremiah's persecution didn't deter him one bit. He just went back the next day and kept on plowing, kept on preaching, regardless of pasture's response or reaction. Prison didn't deter Jeremiah. Amen. Just cause, the devil had him put in jail, that didn't change Jeremiah's mind. He just went back and continued to do what got him put in jail in the first place. Kind of reminds me of those disciples in Acts chapter number 5. They threatened them. They put them in prison. The Lord broke them out. And instead of heading for the hills, they went back to the same place and continued to preach. They said we ought to obey God rather than men. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. And then they rejoiced that they were worthy to suffer shame for His name. Amen. There's a retribution. Amen. God used Jeremiah to pronounce judgment upon Pasher because of the fact that he had afflicted God's man. Amen. All right, so let's, again, I'm trying to get somewhere tonight. There's somewhere I want to get to. An accusation, verse number 7. Oh Lord, so here's where things change. Here's where, again, up through verse number 6, you have this conversation taking place between Pasher and Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is persecuted. He's brought out of prison. The Lord pronounces judgment upon Pasher. Amen. Because of how he treated the man of God. But now we see a transition here in verse number 7. And the focus turns to an intimate conversation between Jeremiah and the Lord. Verse number 7. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Now, here's Jeremiah is accusing the Lord of misleading him when he first answered the call to be a prophet. And that's not a good thing to do. Amen. It's a dangerous thing to make accusations against the Lord. Somebody said, should we ever question God? You know, well, here's the one thing about it. It's one thing to question the Lord. It's another thing to demand an answer from Him. Because God's not obligated to give you an answer as to why He does what He does. And what really is taking place here is that Jeremiah is questioning the Lord's sovereign purpose and His authoritative plan for his life. And again, you say, when did this happen? It happened during a time of persecution. It happened when Jeremiah was in the middle of the storm. Amen. When he didn't have the answers, when he didn't understand why God was allowing this to happen for him, especially when all he had done was be faithful and do what God had called him to do. Lord, why, would you allow something to happen? Turn with me to Romans 9, Romans chapter number 9. I mean, these are good, good scriptures tonight. I hope this will be a help to you. Romans chapter number 9, verse number 18. When you found your place, say amen. Amen. Romans chapter number 9, verse 18. The Bible says, therefore hath he mercy on whom he'll have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Listen to this. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet found fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel to honor and another to dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Now here Paul's writing about the Jews and how the Jews were the Lord's vessels.
And again, the Gentiles, they were vessels of wrath. But Paul said, hey, who are you to question that God might choose because you rejected God? The gospel was first given to the Jews. The Jews rejected Jesus. Amen. He came to his own received him not. Amen. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Paul's saying, who is it our business if the Lord might choose to, to turn away from the Jews and unto the Gentiles? Amen. We're the creature. He's the creator. He's the potter. We're the clay. Amen. You know, one of the worst decisions we could ever make is to resist, to try and resist His will. Amen. There's a lot of talk, and rightfully so. I believe in the free will of man. I don't believe God. I believe God's a gentleman. He won't force Himself on anybody. But, hey, I think we need to emphasize the will of God a little bit. Amen. And when we, let me just tell you something, friend. Amen. God's got a plan. And we better submit and surrender ourselves to His plan instead of trying to wrestle against Him and butt heads with Him. Anytime you have the gall or the guts to try and butt heads with God, you're going to lose. Amen. You better have the attitude of Jesus when He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Amen. Praise God. Here's a realization. In spite of Jeremiah's question, in spite of his accusation, we see that he realized something. Verse number 7, thou art stronger than I and hast prevailed. You know something you need to know and something I need to understand in my life, and that is the Lord's stronger than I am. The Lord's bigger than I am. The Lord's greater than I am. He's more powerful. He's wiser. He knows more than I know. His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Amen. The Lord, hey, it's a dangerous thing for you to get in a wrestling match with God. Joseph did that and he ended up getting hurt. He spent the rest of his life with a limp all because he wrestled with the Lord. Amen. You start bucking up against God, brother, you're going to lose. Hey, God will always win. Just ask Jonah. Amen. God said, Jonah, go to Nineveh. Jonah said, no, I'm tucking tail and I'm headed the other way. Well, God sent a fish, swallowed him up. Amen. 3 days in the belly of that whale, God spit him up on dry land. And I believe he hit the seashore running straight for Nineveh like he should have the first time. I don't want God to have to put me in a whale's belly to get my attention and to make sure I know He's the boss and not me. Amen. The derision, verse 7, I am in derision daily, everyone mocketh me. Jeremiah was being rejected. He was being derided. He was being mocked and made fun of on a daily basis, listen, for faithfully preaching the truth. You know, one of the hardest things, especially in ministry, but when you live for God, is to be misunderstood, to be made fun of and rejected. But friend, I want to remind you, it goes with the territory. They did it to Jesus. They did it to Jeremiah. They'll do it to us. Description 4, verse number 8, for since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence. And spoil, he was a hellfire and brimstone preacher. He didn't sugarcoat it. He didn't water it down. He preached the truth and he told it like it was. And that's what we're supposed to do. Amen. We're not supposed to change with the winds. Amen. We're not supposed to waver and we're not supposed to cater our message to our audience. We don't need to tell them what they want to hear. We need to tell them what they need to hear. Amen. But we need to be instant in season and out of season. Ephesians 4:1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, Paul wrote, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you called. You know how to be, you know, I don't want my preaching, I don't want my ministry, I don't want my serving, the way I serve the Lord to bring reproach to the Lord's name. I want to walk worthy of my vocation. Amen. I want my life to bring honor unto the Lord rather than dishonor. Say, preacher, how do you do that? Preach the truth. Amen. An association, verse 8, because here's why they made fun of him. Here's why he was having such a hard time. Because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Listen, why was Jeremiah opposed? Why was he persecuted? Why was he rejected? It was because of his direct association, affiliation, identification with the Word of God. Brother, they don't hate you. They don't hate me. They hate this Bible we preach and read from. Enemy number one in America is the Word of God. Amen. You can preach all you want to preach. Don't preach what the Bible says. And you'll be okay, but you start standing for what's in this book, and you're going to have a hard time. Amen. They did it to Jesus. They'll do it to us. The servant's no greater than his Lord. Amen. He was persecuted because he was willing to align, affiliate, and identify himself with God's Word. Friend, are you willing to align yourself and identify yourself unashamedly with what the Bible says? You better. But you better get ready if you do, because hell's coming at you. Amen. We talked the other day about what's going on down in Cookeville. And having the drag queens in the public parks, the parents bringing their kids out, and they're doing a lewd dance and giving them dollar bills like it's at the strip club or something. And the kids hugging all over the drag queen. That's in Cookeville. Well, hey, I got news for you. It's coming to Morristown, Josh told me last night. Huh? You say, oh, that's impossible. Hey, get ready. It'll be in Greenville for long. And did you know that there are churches right here in the Tri-Cities area that are getting threatening letters and messages and phone calls for standing on what the Bible says? Friend, you better decide now whether or not you are willing to count the cost and pay the price for taking the right stand. Amen. We had some of our senators. I'm just going to preach. Is that all right? We had some of our senators last night turn yellow belly, and they showed their true colors because they weren't willing to take a stand. God help. Amen. All right, so here's why I say all of that. I won't charge you for any of that. That's all introduction and preliminary. I'm just kidding. Verse number 9, a decision. Now, before I get into this, don't you look down on Jeremiah. I mean, don't you have a judgmental attitude towards him, because I promise you, if you haven't been where he's at, you're going to be. Amen. Verse number 9, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. Let's just be real tonight. Any of us been there? Lord, I've served you. I've lived for you. I've been faithful to you, and look where it's got me. They put me, pastor, put me in stocks for telling the truth. Paul. Paul wanted to go to Asia. God said, no, go to Macedonia. What happened? He ended up in the Philippian jail for obeying God and do what God said. Amen. So what are you going to do when you get the raw end of the deal for doing the right thing? Amen. He said, I was better off living for the world. Before I started, so don't you think the devil won't tell you that? Amen. The first sign of trouble comes, the devil's going to whisper. Hey, the devil does not play fair. I was visiting somebody in a hospital the other day, and amen, got cancer and just having a hard time, and amen, doesn't know how much time they had left, and they said, "Preacher, would you pray for me? I'm struggling with the assurance of my salvation. I don't even know if I'm saved. And this is one of the godliest people I know. Ain't no doubt in my mind that he's saved, knows the Lord. His life bears fruit and testimony, evidence of the fact that he's born again." Devil don't play fair. He's going to kick you when you're down. But you just know that you ain't in the pit no more. God lifted you up out of the pit, put you on a potter's wheel, and God's doing a work, and there ain't nothing the devil can do about it.
Amen.
Devil can't touch you unless God gives him permission. Let me say that again tonight. The devil can't touch you unless God gives you permission. So if it's happening in your life, it may not be pleasant, it may not be enjoyable, but you can know that God's working it all together for your good. He's going to give you the grace, and he's going to get glory out of it. And ultimately, that's all that matters. Amen. But sometimes, we want to quit. I usually quit every Monday. Amen. Especially if I know I'm going to have to ride in the vehicle with Tyler. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. We all. But can I say this? It's not a sin for the devil to tempt you to quit. Huh? You know, sometimes I feel guilty because the devil tempts me. It's not about what the devil does. It's how I respond to the temptation. He was tempted to quit, and we could preach an entire message on why we want to give up. What causes us to want to give up? Sometimes it's weariness. Man, when I get tired, I just want to quit. The Bible says, "Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if ye faint not." I don't want to miss out on what God has in store for me, because I quit just before I cross the finish line. Jeremiah, if he'd have quit he was only 2 years from his prophecy, the word of his prophecy coming true and being fulfilled. If he'd have quit, he'd have been made a reproach and a laughing stock. But he stayed the course, and God rewarded him and vindicated him for doing the right thing. And if God did that for Jeremiah, honey, he'll do it for us. Amen. Amen. The difficulty of the job, the pressure he was under, and especially because of the way he was being treated, especially for being faithful to the Lord and to the truth. Friend, if you're expecting an easy road, you ought to quit before you ever get started. Somebody help me preach tonight. Serving the Lord never has been easy. Living for God. Amen. That's why the Bible calls it the narrow way. Amen. It's the hard way, but it's the best way. And the reward at the end of the journey is worth it all. If you'll stay faithful. I wanted to quit. This may not be for nobody. Can I say this? If Jeremiah was tempted to quit, we will be too. The harder the battle, the heavier the burden, the more difficult the journey, the greater the temptation to quit will be. Can I say this tonight? As time goes on, more and more people will be tempted to quit. And more people will give up and quit simply because they can't handle the severity and the intensity of the battle. We are living in the last days. These are perilous times. It is dangerous. This ain't a game, honey. It's a fight and a battle, and it's dangerous to affiliate yourself with what the Bible says and to ally yourself with the name of Jesus, because the devil's going to launch an all-out onslaught against your life and your family. Amen. And you're going to want to quit. Amen. We're living in the great falling away. There's some people that's quit that I never thought would quit. Huh? There's some people that I used to look up to that they're not even in church now. Don't you ever think it couldn't ever happen to you. You better stay close to Jesus. I mean, you better keep the fire burning in your soul, lest you yourself be a castaway. And Paul said that, lest while I preach to others, I myself be a castaway. Amen. But can I say this? It's always too early to quit. Huh? We've got to withstand the enemy's onslaught. And we must be willing to weather the storm. You know, when the devil starts, amen, butting up against us and fighting us, and we, amen, feel that spiritual battle. Oh, what am I doing wrong? You ain't doing nothing wrong. That means you're doing something right. If the devil was leaving you alone and wasn't bothering you, then I'd have something to worry about. Intensification. But his word, hallelujah, was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. Anybody know what it is for the word of God to be shut up in your heart as a burning fire shut up in your bones? God, listen to me tonight. God had burned His Word in the depths of Jeremiah's heart. You know, that's what we need today. We need, amen, God's Word to burn in our hearts the way that it did. Do you know God's Word won't burn in your heart unless you get in His Word? You got to get in the book for the book to light a fire in your soul. Jeremiah, you say, preacher, what sustained Jeremiah? The same thing that's going to sustain you. I mean, we're looking for the fluff today, aren't we? We're looking for the entertainment. We're looking for the dessert. Hey, man, dessert. It may taste good, but it won't sustain you. Trust me. It's that meat. Amen. It's a meat and veggies. It's going to sustain you. And friend, you better get your nose and your head buried as deep as you possibly can in the book. Because in times like these, in the day that you and I are living in, the only thing that will sustain us, the only thing that will help us make it and keep us from being a casualty of war in the day we're living in is if we trust God's Word to sustain us. You don't get in the book and stay in the book, more than likely you'll quit. Amen. It was the Word of God that sustained Jeremiah. Today, we're in churches today, we're looking for anything and everything but the Bible to sustain us. And that's why we're in the mess that we're in. Paralyzation. Oh, I love this. And I was weary with forbearing and I could not stay. See, this makes me feel like there's a little hope for me. The more he kept his mouth shut, the hotter the fire got, and the more intense it burned. The word forbear means hold it in. Isn't that good? He said, I couldn't hold it in. That's what God needs. He needs some people, amen, that are just bursting. Busting at the seams. They just can't help it. I can't help but tell what Jesus did for me. I can't help but talk about what the Bible says. Amen. We need men and women of God who are so filled with the Spirit and so full of God's Word that they simply cannot contain themselves. And they can't keep quiet, but they have no other choice but to speak up. Can I say this tonight? And I'm almost finished. Hallelujah. Now is not the time to quit. But can I say this? Now is not the time to be quiet. Now is not the time to be silent. Now is the time to speak up. Open your mouth and let her fly. Amen. Cry aloud and lift up your voice like a trumpet. Let me say, give you a couple things and I'm through. How do you know if you're really called? If you stay at it. Listen, there's been many times I've wanted to quit. There's even been a few times I've tried to quit, and I can count one or two that I did quit. But guess what? God wouldn't let me. 1 John 2:19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. We are living in a day where God's getting ready to separate and reveal who's real and who's not. Amen? And you're going to be surprised at just how many people lay down their Bible and give in to the enemy. The fire has a way of revealing who's in and who's out. Quitters never win, and winners never quit. That was the first message, Brother Lila, that was put on this church sign when I became pastor. Because the church had been going through a valley, going through a hard time. And on one side they put, quitters never win. And on the other side they put, winners never quit. Whatever you do, don't quit. I can't afford to quit. The cause of Christ can't afford for me to lay down my weapon no matter how tired I get or no matter how bad I want to. I got to keep on. You got to keep going. Amen. You're not in the reserves. You're on the front line, brother. And if you quit, who's going to stand in your place? Who's going to stand in the gap and take up the hedge? There won't be anybody, and the devil just run roughshod. We have to keep going and trust God's grace to get us through. You say, preacher, it's bad. Yeah, it ain't as bad as it was for Jeremiah. You ain't been put in the stocks yet. You may before it's over. You say, preacher, how far does God expect us to resist? In Hebrews chapter number 12, Paul wrote it like this. He said, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. What does God expect at us? To shed our blood and give our lives for Jesus, if need be, just as He shed His blood and gave Himself for us. Amen. Praise God, bro. Praise God. Hallelujah, brother. Listen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Tyler. Amen. Amen. Knowing Jesus makes all the difference. That's the second person today that's told me, I'm not afraid to die. Mandy Thompson, I talked to him on the phone today. He said, amen. Praise God, sis. Amen. Praise God, sis. Amen. Well, we need to close. Holly, Josh, and Ashley, can we sing our song? Could we do that? I've had it on my mind. Let's sing. It's been too long. I wish Dad was here to play, but he's not. Yeah, just that surgery. Thank you.
on my, you said, Lord, you've deceived me, and Lord, you've done me wrong. I've been out here preaching faithfully, seems you've left me all alone. So I said, I'll not speak or mention your name at all, but your word was like a fire burning in my bones. Oh, I can't quit when there's a fire burning in my soul. Sometimes I want to lay it down. It gives me strength to carry on. I know while on this battlefield, sometimes we'll face defeat, but I can't quit when there's a fire burning in me. So many are quitting, they're laying down their sword. They've grown weary in this battle that we are fighting for our Lord. But when I think of what he did on the cross of Calvary, I lift up the blood-stained banner and march with the redeemed. Oh, I can't quit when there's a fire burning in my soul. Sometimes I want to lay it down. He gives me strength to carry on. I know while on this battlefield, sometimes we'll face defeat, but I can't quit when there's a fire burning in me. While on this battlefield, sometimes we'll face defeat, but I can't quit when there's a fire burning in me.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I can't quit. Amen. I've come too far to turn back now. Amen. They forsook Jesus. They quit on him. Jesus looked at his disciples, said, will ye turn away also? And Peter looked at him, and amen. Peter was one of these. He either said the right thing or the wrong thing, and this time he said the right thing. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Where are we going to turn to except Jesus, church? Who's ever done for us what Jesus did for us? We can't quit. We got to press on. Let's all stand tonight. It's been good to be in church, hasn't it?
Amen.
Amen. Appreciate you being here. Amen.